The Lord, several weeks ago, he impressed upon me to go in a certain direction for today. And so I want to share with you what he said to me. I was sitting, it seems a lot of times God will talk to me while I'm sitting and Pastor Craig is ministering. And sometimes he'll talk to me about what Pastor is saying. Other times he'll talk to me about unrelated things. But I remember I was sitting in my chair where I normally sit, and Pastor was ministering, and I felt the presence of God come on me. And when I feel the presence of God come on me in a certain way, I know that God's talking to me, but he's not just talking to me. I don't know how to explain that other than to say that. I can tell, you know, because part of my assignment is to help Pastor Craig, and so because of that grace that's on my life for that, God will talk to me about certain things. And so, I knew that this service was coming up, and, you know, I was inquiring of the Lord the direction to go. Anyways, I felt that presence of God come on me. And when I felt it come on me, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. And he said to me, while Pastor Craig was preaching, he said, "Are you listening?" And you know, there was a pause, and then he said it again, "Are you listening?" And, you know, at the time, I was listening. I wasn't, you know, zoned out. You know, I know some of y'all have been there. Some of y'all are there right now. But where it's like the lights are on, but nobody's home, you know. I wasn't, that wasn't happening to me in that particular moment. I was listening to what Pastor Craig had said. And so I said, "Yes," you know, I answered the Lord. I said, "Yes, Lord, I'm listening." And then I heard him say again, "Are you listening? Are you listening?" And so I gathered, I said, "Okay, you know what, Lord, I'm probably not understanding what you're meaning here. You're probably not talking about this particular sermon that Pastor Craig is saying." So I said, "Lord, what do you mean by that? Are you listening?" He said, "This church is coming into the season of Bethel." And he said, "Bethel is marked by God speaking." And so he said, "Are you listening? Are you listening in the season of Bethel? Are you listening to God speaking?" Bethel was a season of visitation, right? If you're new to this church, if this is your first time here, you know, I would say don't judge this sermon don't judge this church by me. Come next week when Pastor Craig is here, okay? But I will say this: Pastor Craig has been talking a lot to us about, you know, about how God has compared the trajectory of this church with the life of and of his life, Pastor Craig's life, with the life of David and the life of Joshua and you know, the life of Elijah. And so, you know, we can't force these things. Yeah. You know what I mean? We can't look in the Bible and say, "Okay, I want to be like David," yeah, and then try to find similarities or whatever and make it work. But when God initiates these things, we can take it to the bank, you know, because they're true. And this was a comparison that God initiated in Pastor Craig's life. And so he's talking about Elisha's progression here as he went, you know, he went from that Ziklag season into Hebron. And now there are different parts. Of course, I'm not going to take the time to go into all of that because you all have heard it in Pastor Craig's sermons. But when we came into this year, we came into a different season. And this season is called Bethel. Right? And Bethel, of course, in the original language, Bethel means the house of God, but it also means the place where God speaks. Yeah. And so if God is speaking, and this isn't just, you know, we know this, God is always speaking. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy that the Spirit speaks expressly. That means he always speaks with clarity. He always speaks, you know, he's constantly looking for opportunities to talk to us and to get things over to us. We know that. But God has said that this season that we are in, this year that we are in, would be specifically marked by his speaking. Meaning there's going to be greater volume of words that come forward. It could be words by, you know, in the preaching. It could be words by the gifts of the Spirit, you know, but God is going to talk to us. I believe not just corporately, but individually. If we'll respond right in this season, God will give us clarity. There's some of you in here that have had questions about things, questions about your callings, questions about businesses, questions about assignments that God's given you. This is the season where God will speak. Amen. So use your faith. right? Respond in that season. Say, Father, you said to my pastor that this is a season where you will speak to us. So I believe not just corporately are you going to speak, but in my own individual life. I receive the clarity I need. I receive the wisdom that I need to do what you've called me to do. Amen? So if God is speaking and he has marked out this season as a time where he will speak in greater volume and in greater measure, then if God's speaking, we need to make sure that we're listening. Amen. We need to make sure that we're hearing. So I've called my sermon today, Are You Listening? Because if we're not listening, then we're missing. We're missing out. We are, and we just because God has planned something doesn't mean that it will come to pass.
Right.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Did you hear that? Just because, listen, God is sovereign, and there are certain things that will happen in his timing. Jesus will come back. You know, like there are certain things like that. But not everything for your life is guaranteed if you don't respond right to it. Not everything that God has for you will take place if you don't give a right response. Amen. Amen. And so we need to listen in the season of Bethel. And not just, and can I say this? This isn't just a word for this season. This is, we need to develop a habit of listening, you know, in every season. We should, as Christians, we should be more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit today than we were last year, than we were last month, than we were last week. We should be developing our spiritual ears. Amen. If we're not more sensitive, then we're stagnant. Right? If we're not growing, then we're moving back. Okay? And so God wants us to grow. God wants us to develop our sensitivity to his voice. Amen. Young people, youth, God wants you to develop your sensitivity to his voice. Amen. This is not just a word for adults. Right. This is a word for everybody who's a part of this church. Right. Amen. 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 God wants all of us to grow in our ability to hear him. Because he has much to say. He has much to say. Amen. It thrills us to hear that God wants to speak to us. You know, it's a joy to hear that. It's a thrill to hear. I know when Pastor Craig announced we're going to be having more guest ministers this year, we have gone through a season of drought, so to speak, where we haven't been able to have guests in this pulpit. And so it's a joy to have the offices back in and, you know, to have Pastor Nancy back and Dr. Jerry and you know, these people that we have so missed and whose anointings that we love and we receive much from. It's a joy to know that God is going to use them specifically to instruct us and to help us and to teach us. But we have a role in what is taken away from those services. God, the anointing of God will come upon these ministers, but what you receive from that anointing depends on your hearing. Right? It depends on your listening. If we are going to have Bible results, then we are going to have to employ Bible listening. Right? What do I mean by Bible listening? I mean how the Word describes listening. How the Word describes hearing. Because we as human beings, we understand hearing to mean one thing. True. Right? We understand it, you know, well, right now, you know, if you have ears and everything's working properly, you're hearing me speak, right? But this is not, hearing is not just having sound come into your eardrums and that's the end of it. That's not what Bible hearing is or Bible listening. So we have to find out when the Lord said to me, are you listening? What he was saying to me as an individual and also to this congregation is that we need to come up in the way that we treat the words of God when they come from this pulpit. Not that we're doing anything wrong. Not that we're being dishonorable. But God is endeavoring to speak more, so we should endeavor to improve and our hearing. And so that we get everything that God has for us. Amen? Yeah. Amen. There is a right way and there is a wrong way to approach the words of God. Yes. Right? You can't just treat God's words like it's insignificant. Like it's some random person on the street talking to you. This is Almighty God. Amen. Yes, God is our Father. Yes, God loves us. But God is God. Yes. He is our God. Right? And so when God is talking, we need to pay attention because his words are important. Amen? Amen. I'm reminded of the story of that Pastor Craig tells about Pastor Jay Eberle's church in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And he tells that story about how Pastor Jay was in the pulpit and he was ministering the word. And I've been to their church, basically the sanctuary. It looks sort of like this, but their doorways to come into the sanctuary would be, if for us, on either side of this wall. It's sort of like a semicircle type deal. And so you can come in either on either side. And so as Pastor Jay was preaching, what he saw, his eyes were opened into the realm of the Spirit, and he saw Jesus walk into the building. And Jesus came and he walked through the aisles and he was looking at different congregation members. He was looking and peering over their shoulders at their notebooks. He was looking to see what they were doing. And he went all through the sanctuary and did that to a few different people. And then he walked out. Now, I've heard Pastor Jay tell this story. And he says that Jesus did not speak to him in that service. Jesus just observed and then he left. Now, can you imagine preaching, seeing Jesus walk in and look at your people, look at the way that the sanctuary is set up, you know, look at how clean, you know, look at all of these different things, and then not say anything. And you're sort of left on a cliffhanger. Can you imagine being in that? Like, for me, that a lot of anxiety. Like, you know, like, you know, like, what do I do? Jesus, you know, do I, you know? And so, but he went afterwards into his prayer closet. So Jesus didn't instruct him in that service. He went to his prayer closet and he asked the Holy Ghost. He said, Holy Ghost, what was Jesus doing when he was walking through the congregation? And it was the Holy Spirit who spoke to him and said, Jesus was walking through your congregation and he was looking at the building and he was looking at the people because he wanted to see if your church was ready for the next thing that I have for you. Jesus was inspecting the church. He was looking at how they were listening. He was looking at how they were treating the words of God that were coming through the office that God had designated for that place. Amen. God was watching to see if the people were ready. Can I say this? God is watching us. God is observing us to see if we are ready. To see if, because can I say this? The precious things of God, the deep things of God, like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, those things are reserved for people who will show honor for them. Amen. God is not, you know, we hear that scripture about casting pearls before swine. God's not going to do that with his precious things. He's going to give that to people who will show honor for them. Yes. And we want the deeper things of God. Yes. We want precious utterances, things that have not been spoken before, things that have been spoken before. We want further revelation. God said, like Miss Lorraine said in the offering, God's going to give us further revelation about the ministry of angels. We want, you know, amongst other things, there's going to be things that come like that. And so we need to respond right to those things. Yes. We need to show ourselves interested in those things because God is watching how we treat them when they come forward. Amen. Yes. The way we handle God's words determines if we are ready for the next thing that he has for us. The way that you treat the words that God has spoken to you right now, for your individual life, it determines whether or not you are ready for God to speak more. If you can't obey what he has said, you're probably not going to obey what he will say. Right? And so if you want God to speak to you more and you're finding you're in a season where God's not really talking to you about something, go back to your first instruction that you had. Go back to the last thing that God had said to you about that thing and ask yourself, did I obey that? Did I do that? Because oftentimes we're waiting for God to speak to us about something, but we didn't obey him. We didn't do what he asked us to do first. And so he's not going to give further light if the light he has given has been rejected. Right? We need to embrace light. We need to receive light. And the way that we receive the light that God has given is by walking in it. Light that is not walked in is light that's not received. Amen? Just because God said it doesn't mean you're walking in it. And we have to, in the season of Bethel, God is going to say a lot of things. But we need to make sure that we are responding right and we are hearing and doing the Bible way of hearing. Amen? Amen. So turn with me to the book of Mark, if you will. Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at some scripture together, and then I want to talk about what Bible listening is. You know, we come to church, and of course we come to church to be encouraged and to have our faith stirred, but you know, we also need to be taught how to listen. Any of you in here that you know, let's say this. Let's go to the scripture and then I'll say what I was going to say. Okay? Mark chapter 4, verse 23, if you will. In the King James, it says, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Right? Mark chapter 4, 23 in the Amplified Classic, it says this, "If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend." Now, this is what I was going to say. Anybody, Jesus is saying here, he's saying, if you got ears, use them. Isn't that what he said? If you have ears, use them, right? And well, you say, well, that Jesus, that's sort of a basic thing to say, you know, that's sort of implied. No, it's not. Anybody that has kids knows. Or has served in kids' church. Maybe you don't have kids of your own, but you've served in kids' church, or you've been around children. Maybe you have nieces and nephews. Anybody that's like that knows that just because you have ears doesn't mean that you're listening. Right? A lot of things fall on seemingly deaf ears. You know, or you might have been witness to someone in your life that has what we like to refer to as selective hearing. Right? Where they hear certain things, exciting things, and maybe the non-exciting stuff, you know, it just sort of bypasses you, you know? But Jesus is saying here, if you got them, use them. Right? Let's keep going. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them again in the Amplified Classic, be careful what you are hearing. Yeah. Not just, when he says be careful, he's not just saying protect what you hear, although that applies here. What he's saying is pay close attention. Yeah. Pay close attention to what you're hearing. Look at this. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Look, I love that. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. What is virtue? Virtue is power. It's grace. And so if virtue is not flowing to us in a specific area, there's a hearing issue. Sometimes people come up to, I mean, over the years, people have come up to me. They come up to Pastor Craig, Pastor Jenny, even other ministers. Or maybe somebody's come up to you and just simply asked you for the prayer of agreement. And they've been believing for something for a long time. Maybe it's a sickness in their body that they're dealing with or a financial breakthrough. And you'll notice that there are some people who, no matter how many times they get prayed for, no matter how many times the anointing goes into them, it seems like things in their life aren't changing. And is the problem on God's side? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God is perfect. And so there's never a problem with the flow of power. Because if we say, oh, well, you know, God just isn't moving with them or the power's not working in them. No, you can't say that because there's never a problem with God. And so if there is a problem and grace isn't flowing in a particular area, what we can assume is something is not right on my end. Right? If I'm believing God for something and I'm giving an all-out effort in my faith, I'm not talking about somebody who's lazy with their faith. I'm talking about you're doing the word, you're speaking the word, you're believing it with your heart, and you're not seeing things budge, because when we make an all-out effort to God, heaven's power will back us up because his word is true. And God is not a man that he should lie. And so God will do what he said he's going to do. But if we are making an all-out effort and still nothing is changing, there's something on our end that we're not picking up. We could say this, a hearing issue. Many people think that grace is their answer, or power is their answer to get out of their situation. But really, their answer is counsel. What they need is the counsel of the Holy Spirit. What they need is wisdom. What they need is God to speak to them about something that has to shift in order for that power to flow right. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we do things. Sometimes we, you know, it could be an issue with the love walk. It could be an issue with complaining. It could be an issue with fear or worry. It could be, but there's something that we have to change. And if we'll change it, that power will flow right. I've used this analogy a lot, but when I was younger, I was a teenager, I think, we went over to my grandparents' house, and they have one of those semi-detached homes, which is like it's basically flat roofed, you know, more or less. And I remember Dad and I went over to the house because we call them Nan and Granddad. Nan and Granddad's eaves troughs were full of leaves, you know, because from all of the accumulation, and they have giant mature trees all around their property, much to their dismay. And so, you know, the neighbor and we call them helicopter seeds, you know, but those little things that fall, they come and they fill their eaves troughs. And so none of the water can run down, and it's just a sopping mess, and it's gross. And so Dad and I went over to help them clear it out. And, you know, there are two types of men. There are two types of men. There's an office man, and there's a field man, okay? The office man has no respect for the field man, and the field man has no respect for the office man. The field man thinks they're better than the office man, and they think that the office man doesn't do any real work. And the office man thinks the same thing about the field man, that they're, you know, whatever, I'm doing the real work, I'm the brains of the operation. But the field man is the brawn, you know? I don't know if you know this about me. Maybe this will come as a shock to some of you. I'm an office man. I am not a field man. Okay? My dad is a field man. You know, he's good with this kind of thing. And so when it came time to decide who's going to go up on the roof, let's just say there wasn't much discussion about who would end up being, because we wanted the job done right. And so Dad got up on the ladder, and he went up to the roof, and he's clearing some of these leaves, and, you know. And so he said he's getting through the eaves troughs, and then there's, of course, that long drainage pipe that, it sorts out all the water that's in the eaves trough and gets it down to the ground level, right? And so he's looking in that drain pipe, and he sees that it's full. It's just absolutely full of leaves and muck and all of that stuff. And so Dad says, Taylor, I need you to pass me the hose. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to blast basically that stuff out of there, yeah. Right? And, you know, it'll run to the edge of the drain pipe, and it'll be fine. So, you know, I got up maybe halfway on the ladder, because that's all I'm going to get up with the hose, and I passed him the hose. And know your measure, right? Know where you're at. And ladies, know which one your husband is, so that you don't make him feel bad for not being right. The other. Right? Fair. Okay, cool. So, moving right along. I passed the hose to Dad. The hose is going. He's got it in the drain pipe, and I cranked that thing up. So it was blasting water. And so he said, Taylor, go to the end of the drain pipe and see if it's... if it's running down. This is on the ground. We're okay. We're okay because I'm on the ground, yeah. Right? Not on the ladder. So I go to the end of the drain pipe, and I look at the drain, and there is just a little trickle of water, just a tiny little trickle that's coming. And now I know that the flow of water that's coming for the hose is not justifying this tiny little trickle, right? There, I mean, it's going for it, but there's only a little bit coming out, and so... You know, I said, okay, well, we're going to have to use my powers of deduction. And I said, Dad's on the roof, so let me just see if I can figure out what the problem is. And so I start walking along the pipe. And as I'm walking along the pipe, about halfway through it or so, I can see that there's the pipe was hidden amongst some bushes. And I can see that there's water spurting by these bushes. And so I go to look and see what the problem is. And the pipe, over time, because, you know, it's an older neighborhood, older house, and they don't exactly have regular upgrades to their stuff, right? And so I look at this pipe, and over time, the pipe has worn out, and basically it had become detached. The one piece had become detached from another. And where that detachment had happened, water is going everywhere. And so it can't get to the end of the drain because there's a separation. Right? And so that water is hindered from getting to where it needs to be. And all of that stuff is now being washed into these bushes. So, I mean, at least from one standpoint, at least it was getting cleared out. But, you know, the point is the water wasn't getting to the end of the drain because there was a pipe issue. And can I say this? Sometimes we are, I'm not saying this every time, but sometimes we are believing God for something and we need his power. And see, the power of God, the flow of that power is unadulterated. It's uninterrupted. It is a consistent flow of power. And it's a flow of grace that is more than sufficient for whatever you need. The power of God can handle the bigness of your need. And so we go and we're believing for the power of God and we're speaking to our situation and say, you change in Jesus' name. But the problem does not lie with the power. The problem lies with the pipe. The problem lies with us. It's the conduit of power. Something isn't right. And when we fix that, when we, you know, and that was what we did. We fixed that pipe. And when that pipe was fixed, the power or the water got to the end of where it needed to be. Yeah. Amen. And so sometimes what we need to do is we need to inquire of the Lord and say, Lord, I am going all out with my faith. I'm believing you. I'm speaking right. I'm doing the things that I need to do. But if something still isn't moving, Lord, help me. Yes. Lord, teach me. Is there something that I'm doing that is hindering that flow of power? Is there a problem with my pipeline? Yes. Yeah. Can we say that? Does that make sense? And so, ears to hear. This is what we're talking about. If virtue is not flowing, there's a hearing issue. If we're not growing in grace, if grace is not, or the power of God is not touching the things in our life that we needed to touch, we need to ask ourselves, have I heard God the way that I need to hear him about my situation? Is there something that I'm doing? Is there somebody I need to forgive? Is there something I need to give? Is there something that I need to change in my thinking? Am I saying things that are not appropriate or that aren't in agreement with what I'm believing for, my end result, you know? Have I done something I need to repent of to God or to somebody else? You know, there's all of these different things that could affect whether or not grace gets to us. But we need to hear in order to determine what those are, because we can't just assume either. You know? Amen. Verse 24 again, he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. In the King James, it says, take heed to what you hear. And that statement there, take heed, what it means, wow, time is flying, is it means to give an earnest or continued inspection. It means to gaze with wide open eyes as at something remarkable. So there's an inspection, there's an effort. When somebody's inspecting something, they're not looking at it half-heartedly. It's not just a casual glance. When you're inspecting something, you ever get a rental car and, you know, the people go through the car with you and they go through all of the different scratches and stuff. And, you know, I'm hardcore. So I will go with them and I, you know, because, you know, you don't want to get blamed for something you didn't do. And so I go and there's little pieces of dirt on there and I'm, you know, I'm clearing it out to make sure. But there's a intention behind the looking. It's not just casual. It's not just haphazard. You're intently looking at something. That's the kind of inspection that God is talking about, that Jesus is talking about when he says, take heed to what you've heard. He's saying, inspect it carefully. Yes. Look at it carefully. Consider it often. Yes. That's what Jesus is saying when he says, take heed. Yes. Give an earnest and continued inspection. So what does that mean? The first time that you hear something in a service should not be the last time that you think about it.
Amen.
Right? Okay, well, I'll write really good notes on it, and then I'll never look at it again. You know, we all have these notebooks, but what are they really doing for us? You know, like if you're one of those people that writes notes and reviews them, good on you. You're doing what you're supposed to do. But so many people will write notes because it looks good. Or they'll write notes because, you know, they want the preacher to think that they're listening. And then they'll go and they'll write those notes. Or you put it on your phone somewhere. Put it in a folder. You have no idea where it is. And then it's lost forever in cyberspace. You know, we have to be intentional about our hearing. We have to be right about the way that we handle these things if we want God to keep speaking to us. Yes. Amen. 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 When you hear God speak, you've heard something remarkable. No matter what it is, if he's loving on you and encouraging you, if he's giving you clarity about his plan, if he's correcting you, whatever you've heard is remarkable and it's worthy of your inspection.
Yes.
It's worthy of honor. One of the things that Pastor Nancy says in the pulpit, she says it all the time. If you've heard any of her sermons, you will have heard it at some point. But she says, she asks the congregation, she says, "Are you thrilled with the word today?" Yes. Or she'll say, "I'm thrilled with the word." Right? She says that. What is she doing? With her words, she's holding the word in the right place in her life. She's saying out of her mouth, "I'm thrilled with the word." And what does that mean? Folks, whatever you're thrilled with, you will give attention to. Whatever you're excited about, you will spend time doing. Right? And so with our faith, and I know this about her. You know, she may have started back in the day saying it by faith, but I know that it is a reality for her. I know that she is thrilled with the word. Listen, if you're in here today and you say, "It's hard for me to read the Bible," or "I don't find it interesting to listen to sermons," or whatever the case may be, there's no judgment there. But understand, you need to turn that around, because the call of God, the plan of God for your life depends on you being thrilled with the word. It depends on you hearing the word. And so you have to get accustomed and you have to get used to hearing the word on a regular basis, because the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith, and faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. So you're going to have to do some hearing at some point if you want to grow up and mature in the things of God. So you might as well enjoy it while you're doing it. Right? God dealt with Brother Copeland when he first started exercising and working out. And he said he would get to those machines where he would work out, and he said, "Oh, I hate this." And when he would say, "I hate this," the Holy Spirit checked him. And he was grieved with that kind of talking. And Brother Copeland is sensitive to the Holy Ghost, and he sensed that grieving. And so he immediately changed his words, and he said, "I love this. I love this. I love this." Yeah. Right? What was he doing? He was setting his affection on the thing that God asked him to do. Yes. Set your affection on hearing the word of God, hearing the things that come from the pulpit. And how do you do that? With your words. On your way to church, get in the car with your spouse, with your kids, or just by yourself and say, "Father, I'm thrilled with the word today. I'm thrilled with what you have for me." Whatever you have to say, I embrace it. I receive it wholeheartedly. What are you doing? You are setting the course so that you can receive what God has for you in a service. Amen. And it will also help you in your personal life to say that as well. Amen. 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 I want to read you that same passage out of the Passion Translation, Mark 4:23-25. It says, "If you understand what I'm saying, you need to respond." Jesus said that. Then he said to them, "Be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according," I love this phrase, "according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you." Amen. According to the depth of your longing to understand. When you come to church, can you honestly say that there is a deep longing in you to understand what God is saying to you? Can you honestly say that? And I'm not just talking about, "Oh yes, I'm going to nod my head because I feel like it's a good thing to do." I'm talking about, listen, when somebody has a deep longing for something, it's visible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
You know, anyways, you ever seen one of these kids, you know, that are around the church that'll come up and you know, we have these little candy dishes right here and it's like an all you can eat, you know, buffet, you know? And they love Halls. Like, why Halls? Those aren't even good. Anyways. But they come and they eat all the Halls. And what you see is, you know, every now and then a parent will catch them and they'll say, "Uh-uh, don't you touch that. Don't you take that." And what you see in the eyes of that kid when you say no to them is just, what do you mean no? Like, they're just so distraught over the fact that they're being told they can't eat that candy. Why? Because there's a deep longing There's a longing in them for that. What do you mean I can't have that? That's going to taste so good. I want to enjoy that. You know, I want to have that. Well, that longing is visible on them. And if you deeply long for the word of God and to hear what God has to say to you, that longing will be visible on you. It'll show up in the way that you talk about church. It'll show up in your excitement to come to services. It'll show up in your worship. People that have trouble lifting their hands, worshiping God in the service, there's a longing issue. You don't long for him the way you ought. You don't long to hear from him. Because I value what he has to say, because I respect him and I honor him and I love him, it's a joy to lift my hands in worship. It's a joy to bring my tithes and offerings. It's a joy to sit attentively in the service. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. So he said, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear, for as you do, more understanding will be given to you. Bring your diligence to your hearing. Amen. Don't just hear passively. Don't just hear nonchalantly, but hear diligently. For those, verse 25, for those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have. Yeah. If you don't treat things the way that you ought to treat them, you will eventually lose them. Whatever you dishonor, you will lose.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Whatever you intentionally do not treat correctly, you'll end up losing one day. And so we need to make sure that we are honoring the right things. Honor covenant. Honor the things of God. Honor the gifts of the Spirit. Honor, you know, all we see all of these in the seeker-sensitive movement with different churches. We've seen people where they made changes so as not to offend people, but what they've really done is dishonored the things of God. They remove things like speaking in tongues from their services. They remove prayer meetings. They remove flowing with the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit. And what happens? They're showing dishonor. And so They think they're doing it so as not to offend people, but really they've offended the Holy Ghost. And it's better to offend people who, you know, have no value for the things of God than it is to offend the Holy One himself. Amen. Amen. Be diligent to understand. Amen. If you look very quickly at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, it says this, Proverbs 4:20 in the King James, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." The word attend means to give first priority. You know what Brother Copeland's word was for 2023? He said, in 2023, make sure the word has final authority in your life. Final authority. In other words, give it first priority. Give it first priority. If the words of God are first in your life, then that means there is nothing that can come between you and your time to receive them. Amen? Amen. That word attend also means to incline, to regard, to hear, or to be attentive to. Bible hearing starts with the way that we treat the word. It's not just being present to hear it, although that is an important part of it. It's a pivotal part of it. But it starts with how we consider the word. What do we think about the word? Amen? Hallelujah. So we can tell by looking at these two passages of scripture that God cares about the way that we hear. Right? When he said to me, "Are you listening?" What he's saying is, are you listening the right way? Because if you listen the right way, then you receive what God has. And if you don't, you won't receive. Right? So I want to deal with you about some specific keys right now. I have six, I believe. Six keys to Bible hearing. Okay? Or Bible listening, you can say, because you know I love a good list. So if we'll do these things, we'll get more out of our services. We'll get more out of our personal time with God as well. Amen? So number one, the first key to Bible listening or Bible hearing is this: position yourself to hear. Position yourself. Hearing is not just an action, it is a position. When someone is hearing in the Bible way, you can see it, you can look at it. You can behold it, you know, with your senses. In the natural, we use this example. In the natural, if you're throwing something to somebody, you know, and you want them to catch it, right? They have to be ready to receive what you're throwing to them, right? Otherwise, you know, if I were to say to, you know, to Corinne, I'm not going to do it, don't worry. But if I were to say, here's my phone, catch it, and I throw it at her, if she just holds her hands at her side, you know, that phone's probably going to hit her, and it's not going to be a pleasant experience for her, right? And it won't be a pleasant experience for me either, because I threw the phone at my wife, you know? So, you know, it's trouble on both ends. When she knows that something is being thrown in her direction, she has to prepare herself to catch it. That's in the natural. Well, the same works with the spiritual, right? If we want to catch things that God has for us, can I say this? Hearing the word, I have been a part of this church now for 14 years. It'll be 15 years next January. I was just a teenager when I came here, but much of what I have learned, and the reason why God was able to move me in some things at a young age, younger than most, was because I was present to hear the word. But it's not just about grasping head knowledge. This is what we want people to understand when we say, you need to come to church. You need to come to church. You need to bring your supply. You need to sit under the word. And we tell people who are so zealous for ministry, people who they love God so much, but they're dealing with problems in their life and they just want a way out and they want a quick fix. And we tell people, that's great and that's wonderful, but you need to come and you need to sit under the word. You need to let the word do a work in you. Yeah. What we're really saying is this. It's not just about coming and listening to a sermon that's preached. It's about coming and sitting under the anointing that is present in the house of God. Because when that anointing is present, you don't just hear things, you catch things. You catch things. Much of what I have learned, I have not learned because somebody said it in a pulpit. A lot of what I've learned because I caught it into my spirit. I caught it and the Holy Spirit enlightened me because I was hearing the right way. Right? And the same could be said of you. If you will sit and you will position yourself to receive things and to hear what God has for you in His service, you'll hear things that the preacher doesn't say. You'll come into understandings that the preacher did not necessarily give you out of his mouth. Because God will help you into those things. He'll hasten you into those things. You know, I was thinking about, this is a time in my own life where we're so grateful for what God is doing in the worship, and we hear wonderful things from pastor and from different people about the anointing on the worship, and that's wonderful. It's a great honor, and to God be the glory for all of that, because anything good is Him. But you know, when we started at the church, I was 15 when I first came here. And we had been singing a little bit. We had started in a youth band at a previous church. And so we had been singing for a little while. But we knew basically nothing about flowing in the Holy Ghost. And you know, we knew how to sing harmonies and stuff like that. But we had no knowledge about the anointing or anything like that. And so there were some growing pains for Pastor Craig, you know, with the people that were with us at the time, because he was trying to teach us about the flow of the Spirit and about the anointing. And I remember in my own personal life, I would hear things that he would say, and I would think to myself, well, that doesn't make any sense. Because I was handling what was being said in the mental arena. And I would hear things and I would think, that doesn't make sense to me. Or I don't understand what he's saying by that. And instead of humbling myself, because again, I'm a teenager. I think I know everything, right? Teenagers, that's what they do. So I think I know everything. And so I'm like, well, that doesn't seem right to me. So that can't be right, you know? And we would in certain times, we would resist him. And that made for an unpleasant time for him. An unpleasant time for us because we were not understanding and he was trying to get it over to us. But anyways, I remember one time Dr. Bob Lemon had come to the church, and he has since gone home to be with the Lord. But Dr. Lemon came and he brought his spiritual son, who I remember being Brother Dave, I think was his name. And he brought Brother Dave, and Brother Dave, Pastor Craig had asked Brother Dave to come and minister to the worship team that was serving at the time. And, you know, there was a season, again, where I said where there was some resistance happening. And so I remember going into this meeting and deciding within myself, you know, evidently, I don't know something that Pastor Craig knows. And he's trying to help me to know it. So I just decided, you know what? I'm going to go into this meeting. I was maybe about 17 at the time. With an open mind, with an open heart. And we'll just, because my heart was pure. My heart wanted to understand. But I didn't in my mind. And so Brother Dave was talking. And let me tell you, I don't know anything that he said. I could not tell you off the top of my head what it was that he ministered on. But I know as I was sitting in that chair, it was like somebody flipped a switch in my spirit. And suddenly, everything that Pastor Craig and Pastor Jenny had been trying to teach us about the flow of the anointing, about sensing the move of the Spirit, instantly that knowledge that was not there was there again, or was there now. Just instantly, in an instant, in one service. Okay? And it was not like just, oh, this is just one thing that they don't understand. This was a whole concept, which flowing in the anointing is not something that you can really just, you know, explain. There's so many different parts to it and you know, whatever. But God enlightened my spirit in that service. And I went to Pastor Jenny. I went to Pastor Jenny afterwards and I said, Pastor Jenny, I get it. And I'll never forget it. I said, I get it. And she grabbed me. She grabbed me and she hugged me. And she said, I know Taylor. She said, the Lord told me that he was going to show you. And it was such a joy to me because I received something that was not necessarily spoken. God dealt with me about it. And here's the deal. God is no respecter of persons. And this is why we tell people, you need to come to church. You need to be under the anointing. Yes, when you're watching by way of live stream, you're hearing words that are spoken and you're hearing the word that's being preached, but you're not present to catch what is not heard. Hearing requires your presence. It requires you to be in the room. So that not only can you hear and listen, but you're missing. Listen, there are some people, and Pastor Craig has mentioned it from the pulpit. There are some people that have not rejoined us since this whole COVID thing happened. And they're faithfully watching via live stream. And some people watch every service that we put up there. They're watching it. And that's great and that's wonderful. But you have to understand, live stream people, that you're only getting one dimension. You're only hearing what's being spoken, but because you haven't positioned yourself, you're not receiving what is not being spoken. And listen, there are rescues. There are things that your life needs that you're not receiving because you're not present. You're not here to receive it. And God wants to get things over to you. God has things. I hear that in my spirit. God has things for your families where you're believing God for some things to change. You're believing God for some things to move in your families. But those things aren't moving because God can't deal with you because you're not in the right position. So get in position. We can't complain. If God is launching something and it's over here for us, but we're standing over here. We can't, if I had said to Corinne, throw me your phone, please. And she throws it over here, but I'm over here. Yeah. I can't say, well, what are you doing? No, I have to get in position to receive what she's trying to give me. God's not going to move for you. You need to move for him. He's worthy of your movement. He's worthy of your inconvenience. He is worthy of you getting up and doing something different. He's worthy of it. Amen. He's worthy of it. Amen. Position yourself to hear. How do I position myself to hear? Oh God, we're going to close. We're going to close in a minute. I've only done one key. We're going to close in a minute. Hunger, honor, and humility. If you will apply these three things, you'll position yourself to hear. People who sit down at the table and are hungry, they look different than people who aren't. They behave different than people who aren't. Right? When I come to the table and I'm hungry, you better get out of my way, bless God, because if you're in the crossfire, I cannot promise that you're going to walk out in one piece. right? But if I'm not hungry, it's sort of like, yeah, maybe I'll pick and, you know, like a bird, you know, just, yeah, that's not a bird sound. It's more of a squirrel, really. Anywho, hungry, be hungry. Hunger shows up in excitement.
Yes, it does.
Right? Honor, it ought to be important to us when God is speaking. That's why Pastor Nancy says, the time where I get to come to the local church is the most important time in the week.
Yes.
Why? Because it's the time where God speaks corporately. Amen. And humility. Pastor Craig preached a wonderful sermon on humility last Wednesday, so I'm not going to go into all of that. You just watch that on live stream. But I will say this, humility is the posture of receiving. If you want to receive, you got to get humble. You got to get low. Humility is proximity to God. Right? Because the Bible says he draws close to the humble, draws near to the humble, but knows the proud afar off. Right? That's what the Bible says. So humility is proximity. And even just naturally, when you're close to someone, you can hear them better.
That's true.
Very good. Right? So when you're close to the Father, you'll be able to hear him. And how do you get close? Humble yourself. Amen? Number two, stay focused on what you hear. Stay focused on what you hear. This is number one. Number one was position yourself. Number two, stay focused. Stay focused on what you hear. Those three things that I said were just sub-points. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. So sorry about you all y'all that have paper notebooks and can't just quickly erase. Sorry about that. Got to bring your liquid paper next time. Stay focused on what you hear, okay? The most important part of your day is when you get to hear from God. Amen? If that's the most important part of the day, I'm not going to let anything hinder my receiving what I need. That means what? I'm not going to stay up late the night before I have to come to church.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Don't tell me that. That means I'm not going to... Now, this is something that Pastor Craig has taught me. He said, Taylor, the night before you come to church, he said, don't watch any movies or TV shows or anything like that that is overly emotional. Oh, but I love a good rom-com. I just want a good cry. Well, don't do it before you have church, because what's that going to do? It's going to hold you in the soul arena. And when you're in church, you need your spirit to be engaged. If you're going to get what God has for you, if you're going to hear what is not spoken, the Lord will deal with you about it in your spirit, not in your mind. So get out of your head and into your heart. Don't do things that will hold you in the mental. Amen. Stay focused on what you hear. Number three, meditate on what you hear.
Yeah.
You just write it down. You don't have to turn there. Luke chapter 2 and verse 19 talks about Mary. I loved what Pastor Craig shared about Mary.
Yeah.
And how she was taught all throughout her life and childhood agreement by her parents. That's good parenting. We need to teach our kids to agree with whatever God calls them to do. But it says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, but Mary, talking about these things that were spoken of Jesus, it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In the Amplified, it says, but Mary was keeping within herself all these things or sayings and weighing and pondering them in her heart. The Message says, Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear deep within herself. The Passion, but Mary treasured all these things in her heart and often pondered what they meant. Often. She often thought about what the things that were spoken of Jesus. When Jesus was in the temple and basically, you know, kind of cursed them out for saying, well, why did you have to wonder where I was? You know, I was here in the temple about my Father's business, right? She kept those things. She protected them. She guarded them. Amen. The word keep means to guard from loss by keeping the eye upon.
Yeah.
It means to detain. I liked that.
Yeah.
That word detain, we often hear about people who are in jail, you know, when they're being detained. They're not allowed to go, basically. When words from God come forward, don't you let it go.
Yeah.
Hold on to it. Detain it. Keep it in the forefront of your attention.
Yeah.
Amen. Number four key. So we have position yourself to hear. Number two was stay focused on what you hear. Number three, meditate on what you hear. Number four, mix your faith with what you hear. Mix your faith. Hebrews 4:2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. How do I mix my faith with the word? You put it in your mouth and you say it from your heart. right? That's the way we got saved. That's the way we released faith that welcomed Jesus into our life. And that's the way that we receive whatever we need from God. So when something is spoken in the pulpit, say it. What about what Pastor Craig said at Christmas time? How God dealt with him about that scripture that says, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And he explained the meaning of that. And he said by the Spirit, he said, God told me to tell you, if you will put that in your mouth and say it consistently, it'll get on the inside of you and you'll see a greater manifestation of prosperity in your life. Have you been doing that? Have you been doing that? Have you, because if you're not doing that, then you have not mixed your faith with the word that is spoken. And if you've not mixed your faith with it, it will not profit you. You don't profit just because you're sitting in a chair when the word is given. You profit because you've released your faith. Amen? Faith brings profit. If there is no faith, there is no profit. Number five, pray out the things that you hear. Be interested in what God is saying, so interested that you bring it up to him afterwards. Amen. You know, if God says something through Pastor Craig and says, you know, I sense that the Lord wants us to do this, inquire of the Lord. Say, Lord, what is my role in this thing that you have asked Pastor Craig to do? Because if you're a part of this house, you have a role.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Don't assume that your role is small just because it would be inconvenient for you to have a bigger one.
Yeah.
Right? Inquire of God. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How these things that Pastor Craig has said are the emphases of this year, you know, talking about increased angelic activity, talking about dreams where that God is going to give us to bless us.
Yeah.
Talk to the Lord about it. Lord, if that's something that you want to give me, I'm open to receiving it. So I just prayed out in the Holy Ghost. Pray for the congregation that they would lay hold of these things. Pray that we would get a greater revelation of honor. You know, some of these things that Pastor Craig has talked about, you know, and I would say if you weren't at that last Holy Ghost service last week where he talked about these things, because some of you are looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about. So in last week's service on January 1st, he talked about some things that the Holy Spirit was emphasizing for this church in this coming year. If you're a part of this congregation, you need to get online. You need to listen to that.
Yes.
And you need to prioritize coming to church when these things are spoken. But that's another conversation for another time. What I will say is, if you missed it, go back and watch it. If you were here, go back and watch it. Because we need to find out what we are assigning our faith to for this year. Just because it's spoken doesn't mean it'll happen. And number six, this is the last key, obey what you hear. Obey what you hear. Obey what you hear and obey it quickly.
Yes.
Don't give time for the devil to talk you out of doing what God told you to do.
Yes.
Obey what you hear. Samuel, you remember a few weeks ago I was talking on a Wednesday night about responding and receiving. And the Lord highlighted to me the story of Samuel and how Samuel was just a child. But he, you know, God was calling for him. And of course, Samuel thought it was Eli calling for him, so he got up and he went to Eli. But after that service, the Lord brought this story to me again, and he said, Taylor, I want you to notice that Samuel had a habit of listening. He had a habit of it. How can you tell he had a habit of listening? Well, he was a little boy, but when he heard his name called, immediately he got out of his bed and he went to go see why I was being summoned.
Yes.
It did not say, and God called out 26 times.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And then Samuel finally got the mustered up the willpower to get out of bed. That's not what it said. Samuel was trained to listen.
Yeah.
And God said to me, because Samuel had a habit of listening, even though his knowledge did not meet what the visitation called for or the response that the visitation called for, I was able to work with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was able to keep calling him, keep trying to talk to him. But it was because he had a habit of listening. Young people, develop a habit of listening. Samuel was a little boy, and it was his habit of listening and hearkening and doing what the person that was over him, in this really his father figure, because his parents had given him over to the temple to be raised up in the things of God. And so really when Eli, his father figure, called for him, he answered right away, and God perceived that habit for listening as faithfulness.
Amen.
And that was why as a child, God dealt with him about his ministry. Young people, God would deal with you more about the ministries and the assignments that he has for you if you would learn to listen to your parents. If you would learn to quickly obey when they tell you to do things. If you would learn to not resist all the time. Just do it. Just do it. The Bible calls your parents God's representatives. And so when you disobey and reject their instruction, you disobey and reject his. And God watches to see how you obey to determine if you're ready for him to talk to you about deeper things. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Until we've obeyed what we've heard, our hearing is not complete.
Amen.
So we need to obey. Amen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he?
Yes.
The Lord is good. Father, thank you so much for your word. You're helping us, Lord. You're helping us to become more skillful. You're helping us to get more out of our services, to get more from you, your spirit when you speak to us through our pastor and through the various other guest ministers that will come in this pulpit. And so we thank you, 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 thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Master. Thank you for this season of Bethel that will be marked by your speaking, marked by your instruction. And Lord, we give honor to you in this season and we'll honor you in this season by doing what you're asking us to do. And when you speak, we'll listen. We'll position ourselves to hear. We will meditate on what we've heard. We will pay attention when we're in the place of hearing. Father, we'll mix our faith with what's being heard. We'll pray out what we're hearing. And Lord, we'll obey it when you ask us to do anything. And we thank you for it, Father.